You know, did you know a lot of people sum their lives up in this way? The past is a memory, the present is a must, and their future is a mystery. Now, there's a lot of people that's sort of the way they live. Jeremiah 29:11. I'm just going to talk about living the life of God has planned for you. There are many things that can get us off track and get us going the wrong direction and so forth and so on. All right, find it on your iPad, find it on your phone, or in your Bible, or both. I usually wait till I see them quit turning pages on the front row, and then I'll start reading. All right. Y'all all ready? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you'll call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Now, one of the greatest things that we can grasp is the fact that God has planned a good life for us. He planned to prosper us, a plan to protect us, a plan to give us hope, a plan to give us our future. Now, you know, God's plan is a great plan for our life, and it's better than you could imagine. But many times you start out on that plan, you start with God's plan, and then because you're doing good, you get off on your own plan and mess up. You know, I grew up in a house where following the plan of God for your life was a high priority. My dad started, you know, he spent many hours seeking the Lord before he left that last church at God's direction. Now, at first, it didn't look like it was the right thing to do, because, man, we struggled and we sacrificed, but we kept following the plan of God, and it paid off in the end. Now, I want to tell you what, God's plan will bring you victory in the end, but the enemy may put everything he can in your way to keep you from following the plan of God for your life. I mean, he may get you off, and you may be doing really good, but that's not really what God has planned for you. Hello, anybody know what I'm talking about? See, many people don't follow the plan of God, finish following the plan of God from their life, because they get to doing good, and then they get off wanting to follow their own plan. And sometimes our education and our peers put pressure on us to, hey, man, you need this, you're good at this. You need to follow this. You need to do this. This is what you need to do. And sometimes we need not to listen to people. We need to listen to our own heart as God is speaking to us. You know, God has a plan for us. Now, many times, many people get off from the plan that God has for them and think that God has abandoned them. God hadn't abandoned them. You have abandoned God because you went off on your own track instead of staying on the track that God has for you. You know, I want to look at several things tonight that I think will help us to stay on track and maybe live the life that God has planned for. Determine to let God dominate your life. First, let God dominate your life. You know, he said, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, the plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. The question is, are you letting God dominate your life? What is influencing your life each day the most? Is it the daily news? Is it what family members are saying? Is it a memory of a failure? Is it your own ambition and success? Or is it God's plan for your life? See, you got to let God dominate your life, or something else will. You got to let his plan dominate your life or something else will. You have to decide to get on board with God's plan or you'll miss the train of his blessing. Determine to hold on to the direction of God in your life no matter what. Now, you see, determine to let God dominate your life. Many times, if we're not careful, we let success dominate us. And because we're successful, we think that's the way we should go. But we have to stop and say, is this really what God has, or is this my own plan because I'm successful? God wants you to be successful, but he wants you to be successful where he wants you to be, where he wants you to operate, and not where you want to operate. You know, then once you determine to allow God to dominate your life, now you got to position yourself to discover God's plan. Jeremiah 29:12, it says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. The plan of God does not fall on you. The plan of God comes because you read his word and you spend time in prayer. Have you ever felt like you were over your head in something? That's when you need to get on your knees. That's when you need to pray. Because he'll show you the way out. You know, sometimes when we're trying to determine what we need to do, should we go this way? Should we go that way? What should I do? You know, we need to have a place that we can get off by ourselves and hear God. And we used to go out to Little Sahara and go, that's before the church ever started, and go riding four-wheelers with the kids and friends and so forth. And you know, I used to get out there by myself. I'd go out sometime by myself. I'd just get up on top of one of those sand dunes and just sort of lay back on my four-wheeler and put my feet up on the handlebars and just sort of cross my arms and just look up into the heavens. And you know, it'd be early evening and it was just in the there's a cool evening breeze blowing, and I'm just looking up into heaven, just laying there, not praying, not saying anything, and all of a sudden, I would start to get answers for questions that I'd been questioning and praying about and thinking about and meditating about, and now I'm not even praying. I'm just out where it's quiet, nothing else going on. I'm sitting on a sand dune out in the middle of I don't know how many acres of sand. And I'm just laying there on the bike, on that four-wheeler, not thinking about nothing. Just looking up in the sky. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody? And then all of a sudden, you know why? Because now I have shut everything else out. I'm not thinking about anything. I'm not praying about it. I'm just sitting there, and the Lord begins to give you the answer. See, sometimes we are so busy, even though we're praying and asking, we're still too busy to hear the answer. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I don't know whether I have the right words or an articulate speech to get over what I'm trying to say to you. But even though we're in a spot that we call our prayer closet praying, our mind can be so busy that we're not being quiet enough to hear. Hello. Now, you know, we need to learn to tune out circumstances and relationships and situations and just get quiet. Just get quiet. You know, it's hard to hear that still small voice when you're talking yourself. Even though you're praying and talking to God, it's still hard to hear. And sometimes when you're praying and you're praying about a situation, and at the same time you're praying about it, your mind starts kicking in. Anybody ever been there besides me? Oh, I'm talking to a bunch of people that know what I'm talking about. You know, so these we need to determine to position ourselves so we can hear the voice of God. Now, let me say this. When you hear the voice of God and you get a plan, don't try to jump ahead. Let the plan unfold. Don't try to make it happen. Because many times you may get something, but it's not for then, it's for down the road. We was going to have schools all over the world in 1980. I tried to make it happen and I messed up. And 20 years later, it started happening. I just backed off and said, okay, maybe I missed it. I didn't miss it. I missed God's timing because I tried to make it happen rather than just let him have. That was his plan all the time. Now, see, I'm talking about me because you don't want me talking about you. His plan all the time was to have these schools. But, you see, I've got to let his plan unfold. Actually, when I tried to start it, I actually didn't have a strong enough base and I didn't have enough personnel out there in the field to do it. That's really the reason it failed. And because I didn't have a strong enough base here and I didn't have the personnel out there. Then 20 years later or so, he said, now's the time for the plan. You got the base and you got the personnel. And look how fast it has exploded. Now some of y'all might need to realize that yourself. God may give you something, but let it happen. Don't try to make it happen. Okay? Now, I want to read this. Actually, I read this come out of another book, but it's a saying. It's supposed to be a saying from Corey Ten Boone. The devil smiles when we make plans. He laughs when we get too busy, but he trembles when we pray. That's according to Corey Ten Boone. You know, future surrounded with prayer seldom does not come to pass. A future surrounded by prayer will not be undone. It will be accomplished as you follow God. Say this, the plan for my life will only be accomplished as I follow him with prayer and believing the word. Then I will see the plan unfold and I can walk it out. All right. Now, Another thing I want to talk about is finding the purpose, the reason why you're doing this. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." When you spend time with God, you'll also find out the purpose for your life, what your purpose is, what it all is. You see, when I left to come to work for this ministry, I was, and Lynette will tell you, she was too. Both of us were a little unsettled about it, but we knew that God said to do it. But it didn't seem like that, well, actually, you've heard me say it before, it seemed like I took a step backwards rather than a step forward. But it was when he said at that camp meeting, "We're going to start a Bible school," that's when we knew the real purpose that we were here, that I had come, left that position, and came to work here. And you know, so we came, then we started the school, and we were having the school, and I was still an evangelist. I would be here and teach during the week, and then go out on the weekend and preach, and then when it was vacation time, I'd take the family and we'd go, and then come summer, the last class was over and we hit the road. We're out on the road. But in 85, the summer of 85, the Lord had begun to deal with me about starting a church. And I throwed that aside. And finally, my wife came to me and said, "What's the matter with you? You can't even preach anymore." Really, she did. She's my best critic and my helper that helps me to be what I am today. Without her, I wouldn't be here today. She gets all the glory. She's helped me. Give her a hand. Yeah. That's what a good wife can either hinder you or help you. And so I said, "Well, the Lord's dealing with me about starting a church." And so she said, "Well, I think that's right. He's been dealing with me too." So we talked a little bit. And so then, now, we had another plan in our life. See, as you go along with God, and as you move along, then different plan, he can move you to different. I mean, it's still all in his plan. He just don't show it all to you at once. If he did, scare you to death. Hello? You'd say, "I can't do that. There ain't no way." Excuse my colloquial English there, but there isn't any way. It would probably be the correct way to say it, but hey, what you get is me. So what you see is what you get, too. So you see, now we've got another focus. I've got the focus with the school. I've got the purpose with the school, the purpose with starting the church. Okay? And, you know, I never even thought about it, but then when Dad went on be with the Lord, now another thing came in, going out on the road and speaking. We go out every month and speak somewhere. You see, all of these things were not in the original plan, although God had them there. He just didn't want let me know it until it was time to step into that. And why am I telling you all that? Because I want you to realize that as you follow his plan, then if there's some other things he will give unto you, you can step into them then. How many understand where I'm coming from on that? I mean, if he'd have showed me all that at once, I probably never would have left that church as a social pastor. I said, "No, ain't no way." No way I can do that. You know, see, he wants to help us and protect us and to deliver us and give us prosperity and provision and all of that. He wants us to have a victorious life. Now, when we begin to walk out God's plan and purpose for our lives, we also find a great blessing there. Now, you may get a little tired, but there's still the blessing is there. That may sound sort of funny, but it's true. Because if you enjoy what you're doing, it doesn't matter if you get tired, if you have the purpose and you know what's going on. Proverbs 19:21 says, for many are the... Let you turn there. Proverbs 19:21. I'm getting ahead of myself, okay? Have to slow down. See, that's the preacher in me. That's the evangelist in me. He wants to go. And the teacher has to slow down and to go line on line, you know, so... All right, Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. You know, wherever God guides you, he will provide. Wherever he calls you, he will give you what you need to accomplish. You know, God's desire for your life is not an aimless drifting from one experience to another with really no significance or significant meaning. You know, I can go back and I can look at my life from the time that I made the decision at Old Oak Ranch Youth Camp when I was 16, 17 years old, to go in the ministry. And I can go back and I can look at that and I can see that I went from experience to experience, but I can see that there was significance in all of it. Because all of it got me to the position that I am today. And that's what I'm trying to say to you is, hey, you may be partway on your journey. Know that everything has significance, even if it's a mistake and it shows you what not to do. It has significance. Don't do it again. The children of Israel, they continued to make the same mistake over and over again. You know what it was? As long as everything was going good, they forgot about God. Go back and read their history. That's what in the Old Testament, read the history. And they'd get away from God, get messed up. Oh, God, help me out. And then God would come down and help them out, and they'd make the same mistake. Hey, don't do that. See, Paul said everything that happened to the children of Israel was written for an example for us. That's an example not to follow. All right. Okay. The most important step that you can take is to know God's plan and purpose and then walk it out. You show me a person with no purpose and I'll show you an unhappy person. When you know what God has for your life, it can be truly happy and fulfilled. Now go to Psalms 32:8. I'm going to read it from the NIV. Psalms 32:8. All right, y'all found it? Okay. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. I will instruct you, I will teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. That's good words right there. That's words we should listen to and be attentive to his instruction, whether it comes through reading the word, our word of the Lord coming to us, or listening to somebody minister the word. Do you realize that instruction comes to us in many different forms? And God can give instruction to you through his word, through your reading the word, through your praying, through God speaking to you. But he can give you instruction through somebody speaking, to, such as myself or somebody else speaking. Or sometimes you can get instruction if you're sensitive when you're just talking with a friend. They can say something that will trigger something that you have been mulling over or praying about. And they don't even know it. Anybody ever had that happen? Yeah. Yeah. It happens. I will instruct you and teach you the way. I will counsel you and watch over you. You know, there was a pastor I know as a lady pastor, and she had her office up here, and she could look down into the auditorium. And anybody that wanted counsel, she said, okay, I will counsel you, but first of all, you have to, it's 2 weeks, wasn't it? 2 weeks, you've got to be in every church service, and you got to come in whatever, whenever you can, after work or before work, for an hour, and come down here to the front and pray every day for 2 weeks and be in every service listening to every message. She said that 99% of the people that would follow that instruction never came in for counseling. They got it from the Lord and from the instruction that came from the preaching of the word. And then he said he will watch over us. So know for sure that he's watching over you. You know, I talked about Corrie Ten Boom a while ago, and I said what she had said there. You know, she was the only member of her family that survived the Nazi concentration camp. And soon after World War II, you know, she was invited to America to speak. But however, she had to get traveling documents, and the Dutch officials refused her. They gave her a hard time. They were unwilling to even process her request. So one day, while waiting in line, she started claiming Psalms 32:8. And asking God to help her, give her counsel. And suddenly a man passed by, and he stopped and he said, "You're my cousin. I haven't seen you in years." And she asked him, "Are you going to America too?" He said, "No, my office is in this building. If you have any trouble here, ring me up. This is the number to call." Well, when she got to the window, the official again was curt and coarse and demeaning as always. And so she said, "Do me a favor." And she slid that phone number across to him and said, "You need to call this number." The man looked at the paper and his eyes got big. And he picked the phone up and he dialed the number. He spoke a few words and listened to the response and hung up and promptly issued her the traveling papers. The rest of her life, she says, She constantly bumped into the right people at just the right time to pave her way as she traveled around the world sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. She considered this her personal assurance. For the rest of her life, she constantly bumped into the right people just at the right time. Isn't that coincidental? No, it goes back to Psalms 32:8. I will instruct you, I will teach you, I will counsel you and what, and I will teach you the way you should go and so forth and counsel you. You know, I want to encourage you, listen to God's instruction. And when you do, when you follow him and his purpose and his plan, you're going to have a prosperous life. You're going to have a protected life. You're going to have a life that is good and full of good things. You know, let's all stand up. And let's just say this together as a start of a prayer. As a prayer. Heavenly Father, I dedicate myself to your plan.
I dedicate myself to your plan.
And to your purpose for my life.
I'm asking for your will to be done.
And not my own plans. In my life. Thank you, Father, for helping me to walk out your plan. And I vow to you, from this day forward, I will walk your plan. Not my plan, your plan. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, anybody get anything out of this tonight? Huh? Hallelujah. Well, we have our altar care people coming right now to the front. If you're not born again and you don't know Jesus, if you'll come down here, as the service is dismissed, they'll pray with you and you'll find it. If you need to rededicate your life, if you just go to church and don't know whether you've ever accepted Christ or not, you need to come and pray with them. If you need prayer for the Holy Spirit or prayer for any reason whatsoever, come to the front as we're dismissed and they'll pray with you and you won't leave here like you came. Hallelujah. Hey, remember Friday night, Harvest Carnival? Yes, the Harvest Carnival. Can they still sign up or do you still need some help? Okay, praise the Lord. Hey, Sunday night, Miss Lynette feels very impressed to do a special service Sunday night. It'll be our same 6 o'clock, but she's going to do a special prayer time for this election that's coming up. Amen. I'll say a little more, but I'm going to say to you tonight, everybody needs to get out and vote. Now, some people are saying they're not going to vote because they don't like either candidate. Well, one of them's going to be in the White House. And I can't tell you who to vote for, but I can tell you this. You can look at one of them's platform and look at the other one's platform. One of them's for transgender and same-sex marriages and all of that stuff. And one of them's platform is not for that. Whether you like the person or not, look at their platforms, because whatever their platforms are, is, that's what's going to happen during their administration. So some people are getting all messed up with all of the junk that's being pulled out and so forth and so on, all the stuff. And one reason they're getting some stuff out because they ain't got nothing else to talk about, so they got to try to discredit them somehow. But I want you to forget all about that, and I want you to look at those two platforms, and you better vote for the one that is closest. Now, it won't be all Bible, but you can vote for the one that is closest to the Bible, because that's the platform that's going to be put up on top of you. And so your vote counts. Every vote counts. So I want to encourage you, get out and vote. And if you don't like either one of them, like some people don't, hey, then vote for the platform that is closest in line with the Word of God. And one platform out here is for transgender and same-sex marriage and so forth and so on, and that is diabolically opposed to the Word of God. We sure don't need that, that's for sure.
All right. See you Sunday. God bless. If you need prayer for anything, come to the front right now. We'll see you. God bless.